We have 58 degrees, some light rain falling in the Unalaska area. I guess the rain is kind of on the I-90 corridor. So if you're south of I-90, probably not getting any rain, but north of I-90, collecting some raindrops, that's for sure. 8:12 is the time. We have 58 degrees, as I mentioned, here at today's Talk 1490. My next guest is Governor Douglas Wilder. Son of Virginia is the name of the book. Governor, thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate it. I'm looking at the reviews of the book here off your Amazon website. It says, long before Barack Obama, there was Douglas Wilder, a trailblazed by Wilder, the first African-American elected governor of any state, helped to make President Obama possible. That's some pretty hefty words right there.
Well, Bob, you know, I didn't say that, and the people who say that, I would imagine, are suggesting that things are done incrementally. You get positions in local government, then you get them in state government, and it would be expected that hopefully you would get to the top. And I guess they felt that being elected governor of Virginia would never happen by a person of color. And yet I took the position, as you see the title of the book, Son of Virginia, that Virginia's led in so many other things in terms of the founding of the nation was in Jamestown, and then the surrender of the British in Yorktown, then you had the laying down of the arms by the Confederacy in Appomattox, Virginia. And so it would stand to reason that with our proximity to the nation's capital and then our being considered the capital of the South, why shouldn't this state be that state which would produce the first African-American governor? And I've always thought that if a thing is right, the time is always right. And to that extent, I know that it was possible. I was one of the first persons of recognition in terms of elective office, particularly of the minority, to endorse and support Barack Obama. I did that before people in the Congress did it. I did it even before Oprah Winfrey did it. And I did it because I knew that the qualifications were there. And if we do that, and if you have the qualifications, race should not be a barrier to election.
Governor Douglas Wilder joining us this morning here on today's Talk 1490. Governor, did you feel like you were a trailblazer at the time when you were first elected?
No, I didn't. I felt that I've always thought this, if a thing is right, the time is always right. I felt that the people of Virginia and of this nation are not consigned to the living in the past. They are not majority racist. They are not majority one-sided. And I felt that if I could make the case of what was necessary, and that's an individual thing. I didn't consider it a trailblazing thing. I thought it the art of the possible, and that's what politics is supposed to be about. After it was done, obviously people are saying, well, you know, this is something new. Well, that's always the case.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm very concerned about, though, Bob, is that we don't rest on any laurels. One of the things that I'm very upset about, in Virginia particularly, is that we've not had a statewide election with an African-American being successful since that time for either attorney general or lieutenant governor or governor. And what I'm concerned about also is that we don't allow the negatives to becloud the possibility of another person of color being elected president.
Do you think that there's a lot of negatives that are out there that are being I don't know how to say it that are being pushed out there by people? You know what I mean? I mean, do you think that there's a lot of negatives there that are being pushed into the people by the American media and whatnot?
Well, whether it is or it's not, there are ways to overcome that.
Right.
And that's why I say we don't rest on our laurels. I would say to you, and the answer to the question that I raised relative to no person being elected in Virginia since my election, any persons of color, but that's not the fault of the people in Virginia. And I would say that as clearly as I can.
Uh-huh.
And this doesn't mean that I blame those persons who were running. But to the extent that you capture the spirit, to the extent that you have a message,
Our political system in this nation today is broken. It is controlled by money. And I teach a course here at my school at the Virginia Commonwealth University, and I teach them that that one-word definition for politics is money, because there's not a proposition, a proposal, or anything that you put forth that doesn't involve money. But you've got to understand that. What I'm saying, that money plays too much of a role in terms of who gets elected, the cost of elections are astronomical. That has to change. Citizens United was not worthy. It was one of the worst decisions that the U.S. Supreme Court passed down, saying that a corporation is a person for these, for instances of pushing as much money. So if you don't have contacts with money in many instances, you're not going to be connected.
Governor Douglas Wilder joining us this morning here on Today's Talk 1490. He wrote the book Son of Virginia. Governor, was money the the root of evil even when you were governor back in 1990?
Well, when I was elected, I, you know, prior to elections, you know, candidates make all sorts of promises, and I did. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I found out we didn't have any money. And my predecessor, who I ran on the ticket with when he was elected governor, I was lieutenant governor, he said, you know, we're not completely broke, but I'm going to leave you $35 million. And come to find out, he didn't even leave me that. We had a budget of almost $50 billion. I said, $35 million? So I found out I had to cut. I didn't raise taxes a dime, but the one thing that I was most proud of, that we created a rainy day fund, and every governor since that time has had to go into it. That fund is almost over a billion dollars now.
Wow.
Virginia was voted the best managed state in the nation 2 years in a row. And that came from someone who was supposed to have been a liberal Democrat, tax and spend, and yet I could rebut that by showing by example. You don't complain about what you have. You dig down and do the best you got with what you got.
Son of Virginia, the name of the book, author, Governor Douglas Wilder, joining us this morning here on Today's Talk 1490. You know, you mentioned earlier that that we don't have a majority of racists in the country, and I wanted to know your thoughts on that, because it seems as though that a lot of people still are. You still hear the N-word, you still hear people, you know, bad talk. I mean, you hear it on both sides. You'll hear African Americans bad talking whites, you hear whites bad talk, you know what I mean? And unfortunately it's 2015, and we shouldn't have to, you know, deal
and
with
that.
That's
one of the reasons. Just next week, I'm having a symposia here at Virginia Commonwealth University with people coming from around the nation, and as well as in this state, and talking about what? Race and American society.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something, and I'm glad you brought it up, Bob, because it needs to be discussed. You can't whisper it. I don't use the N-word. I say, if people, you want to say nigger, say nigger. Other than that, N-word is connoting the same thing. It's supposed to mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't bother me if you want to say that, but it takes something from you when you do it. The problems with reference to the African-American male, education, jails, employment, those are the things that need to be discussed and articulated to the extent of real, meaningful solutions.
You know,
that hasn't been done.
Why do you think, Governor, that there's a higher percentage of black males in prison than there are their counterparts in other races?
The influence of drugs in many instances, the disproportionate sentences relative to that, and in lots of instances, lack of education, lack of emphasis on education. When I was coming up, Bob, let me tell you, you had to go to school. You had to stay in school.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone saw you out in the streets, they would say, hey, I'm going to call your parents. I'm going to call somebody that knows that you are not in school. You should be. So truancy was not tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
Teenage pregnancies? No, frowned upon. You took care of your child if that child was yours, to the extent that our communities have become so disparate and so dysfunctional, and cities, major cities, likewise, are being affected thereby. And look at your state, look at Milwaukee, look at the crime rate there. It is absolutely horrible, but it has to be addressed, not with talk, but with meaning. meaningful solutions.
Well, with actions, you know, solutions and actions. That you're absolutely right.
Exactly.
I mean, you can blow smoke as much as you want, and you're not going to end up with anything, you know.
I don't disagree with you at all, and that's why I'm saying, as Lyndon Johnson would say, come, let us reason together. Put your differences together. Americans have more things in common than they have in difference, and yet we never discuss that. People talk differently in parts of the country. I found that out in my state. Because someone's wearing blue jeans and chewing tobacco and wearing a bandana around his neck, that doesn't mean he's a racist or he's crazy or dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But find out those commonalities that we have, and there's so much more that unites us than divides us. We need to capitalize on it, articulate it, take the positives, and make them even greater than they are.
Governor Douglas Wilder joining us this morning here on Today's Talk 1490. He wrote the book, Son of Virginia, A Life in America's Political Arena. Governor, can we talk? Do we have another 8 minutes of conversation or no?
Yes, surely. Go ahead.
Okay, because I got a ton of questions. I mean, I'm enjoying this conversation. I wanted to ask you about, you know, with you being a trailblazer, being the first African-American governor, did you ever in your life ever think that we'd end up with a black president?
Yes.
You
without
did?
Without hesitation.
Really?
And I never saw the reasons why not. And see that, and that's, and you ask a very good question. The question would become, why not? And it was infused in me as a child by my mother, as well as by teachers we had. Even though I went to segregated schools, even though my school didn't have a cafeteria, didn't have an auditorium, we had the best teachers in the world. They were not paid the same rates as white teachers, but they took us as their own children, and those who were entrusted to their care, they treated us that way. And consequently, they would say to us, there is nothing you cannot do if you commit yourself to it. So when I heard the words Declaration of Independence, we all had to recite that. I used to ask my mother, all men are created equal. Does that mean me? She says, absolutely. And she would never tell us, any of her children, that we couldn't aspire. Now, that being the case, I never thought it would be impossible for us to reach the highest and the heights of the fullest potential and the possibility of that potential to develop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, realistically, I found so much solace when I was drafted into the Army, and I went into the Army. It had just become integrated. And I'm coming from the southern state in Virginia, living in an integrated Army, having opportunities to command as a sergeant in combat troops and white troops for the most part, and eating in the same mess halls, eating out of the same canteens sometimes, and sharing our own differences. I said, my goodness, if we can live like this in the military, why can't we live like this outside?
Mm-hmm.
And then that early on let me believe that everything was possible.
You know, it sounds like you've had an interesting life. That's for sure. As I'm reading through this, I think a book got sent to me. I don't know what I did with it, so I'm kind of reading this excerpts. I wish I'd be able to read this book. It looks like an interesting read.
I hope you get an opportunity. It's available at Amazon and then Barnes and Noble. All over in a number of places. The important thing that I want to get through in this book is to encourage young people particularly to not allow the affairs of the nation, the state, the localities to be determined by other people. Be a part of the decision-making process yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Grow up to understand that if things are going to happen, you need to be a part of that happening. Your voice needs to be added to it, how it affects you, how it affects others. Don't always believe that someone else is going to make that decision. Tip O'Neill said something that I always thought was absolutely correct, that all politics is local. Those things that happen at the national level, they're good, they're fine, but your things that affect most people are at local levels, education, crime, and the opportunities for better housing and better opportunities for employment. Yes, it's a passing down, but what really happens is at the bottom, and be a part of that decision-making process.
Governor Douglas Wilder joining us this morning here on Today's Talk 1490. He was governor in Virginia from 1990 to 1994. As I'm reading through the editorial reviews, it says that you're a grandson of slaves. Did you have an opportunity to spend time with your grandparents and ask them about what it was like back in those days?
Well, I didn't, because I was the youngest of, I was next to the youngest of eight children, and my father was the youngest of 14 children. So
wow.
Consequently, he was not born into slavery, but he had brothers and sisters who were.
Right.
He got out of that. He had an older brother who went to medical school, came to be a doctor as a former slave. So if he could do that then, my father would never talk about slavery. My mother would tell him, said, "Robert, for goodness sake, the boy is asking you questions. Would you please answer them and tell him?" Because she was freeborn. And he would reluctantly speak of it and talk about it. And I speak about it in the book as to how his father would, his father and mother were sold separately. And he worked at one farm. She went to another part of the state. And yet on the weekends, my grandfather would walk to meet his mother, the mother of his children, and unite with her. And because he didn't have a pass, he'd have to be whipped when he came back. And when he would come back, even the overseer said, "You know, this doesn't make any sense. We know you're not running off, but we've got to devise some way to act as if I'm punishing you." So he would whip a saddle, and he would tell my grandfather, "You act as if I'm whipping you, because I know that things are not going to work that way." So that was a ruse. Another, my grandfather was supposedly so frightened when the Union troops came through to end the war in Richmond that the slaves had all been told that they were all going to be tortured, burned, or whatever. And he was frightened, so he hid in a tobacco silo and almost smothered to death, believing that he was going to be put to death. And when they found out that the Union troops were actually rescuing and relieving them, mm-hmm. then he came out. But the more important thing for me, my grandfather then himself built a house for his children. My father built a house, a fine house. And the only home we ever had was that home that my father built. And the Wilder family never moved. We never rented. And my father never made over $50 a week in his life. But he took care of his eight children and his wife.
That's phenomenal.
It doesn't happen today.
No, it certainly doesn't. Son of Virginia, A Life in America's Political Arena. You can pick the book up on, you mentioned Amazon and at the at local bookstores. Stop and, yes. You know, I've got a million more questions. I, unfortunately, Governor, am out of time. If you can,
I know how it is. Trust me, I do know.
Conversation.
We'll get a chance again, hopefully, Bob, to talk.
I surely hope so. Hang on the line if you would, please. It's 8:30. My name is Bob. It's BS with Bob Schmidt on Today's Talk 1490.